You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King. Christina, do you know what Rocky Mountain oysters are?
Yeah, I do.
Why am I the only one? So I'm at a family reunion on Friday with my family from Colorado.
Yeah.
And I had like a total ditzy moment because I was talking to a cousin whom I have never met before.
Sure.
And he's
you've met him before.
No, I literally have never met him before.
I met him before.
No, you haven't. So I'm talking to him.
They're from Colorado?
Correct.
Colorado?
That's the way she said it.
So
Colorado.
So I'm talking to him and his girlfriend and his dad. Okay, so these are my cousins. And the youngest person I didn't ever meet before. And we're sitting there and I'm chit-chatting. Where are you guys from? What do you do? Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden the girlfriend was like, yeah, it's actually pretty cool because we still have a bar there that does Rocky Mountain oysters. And I was like, oh, I can't do oysters. I said, they're like too slimy and they're boogery and I can't do it. And they all started laughing and they're like, do you know what Rocky Mountain oysters are? And I was like, well, obviously not because you're all laughing at me right now.
They're still slimy and boogery.
And they're like, they're... what animal?
Bull.
Bull testicles. And I was like, oh, that's great. And she's like, but they're actually pretty good because they're deep fried. And I was like, oh,
nope.
Okay.
Nope. Nope.
And they were like, how did you think oysters got to like Colorado? I was like, I don't know. They ship them.
Well, if you think about, we deep fry cheese.
That's fine.
Very different than a testicle.
Right. But I'm saying... As far as...
Yeah, and I have half the world to back me up on that.
You guys are going the wrong way here. I'm saying as far as what they're getting for texture and consistency, like the gooey, stretchy...
I'm not ever going to be on the same page with you right now.
Well, I'm not for Rocky Mountain oysters. We enjoy our experience with cheese curds.
Spit out the rest.
They don't eat delicious things like Wisconsin cheese
all
the time.
So they probably all these words to say that their bar is low.
It's their Timu or Wish version of a cheese curd.
No.
Oh my. Nah. No. Nah.
First of all, we're 2 minutes in and we've said testicles like 40 times.
I know.
Goodness sakes.
Living in a
it
bar.
It is in those moments, though, where like you feel stupid. Like I felt so stupid, but I just owned it.
I'd get mad about it.
I owned it and I continued to talk. And I'm like, yep. And then I leave thinking they probably think I'm some ditzy blonde. But I'm like, you know what? It's who I am. Like, I never knew what Rocky Mountain oysters are. So then that point going forward, I've asked everybody, do you know what Rocky Mountain oysters are? And they're all like, yep. And I'm like, how am I the last to find out?
You're an innocent soul.
Oh, my Lanta. It's funny, though, that you can not only feel stupid in front of strangers, but you can also feel stupid in front of your own family.
Arguably, arguably more so in front of your family, because they're less likely to hesitate to ridicule you. They'll make fun of you.
Yeah. Do you know what else is interesting, too, is how sometimes, like, extended family, you have to work just as hard to create a conversation with them as you do with a complete stranger.
Yeah, because you don't know.
Let me tell you this. My extended family, to me, I would say 99% of them are strangers.
Complete strangers. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
we
grew up
very
different.
Yeah.
We have more family in the church and the body of Christ.
Yeah.
That are closer than
a brother.
Than the people that we're already like actually blood related to.
Right. Yeah.
I can't remember. I read that saying, blood's thicker than water. It actually stemmed from, it actually came from a saying. I'm going to look it up.
Oh, he brought you the minty garbage bags.
Oh, 100%. Like, I feel like I just applied Bengay.
Yeah.
I told her, don't smell it.
So, Carlos, God bless him, bought new kitchen trash
bless
bags.
Bless his heart.
And he got mint scented. And when I tell you, it's like a fresh tube of Bengay ointment, not sponsored. But I said to Heidi, smell these garbage bags because I hate the smell of them so much because they literally make the whole kitchen smell like Bengay.
Yeah.
And Heidi took the deepest
cleansing
breath of these menthol garbage bags.
Yeah. I have a history of deep cleansing breath.
Yeah.
Why? He's doing the five whys.
I don't wanna.
Because she said I don't trust you.
Oh. Did you?
No. But if I took a deep cleansing breath like that.
She does trust me is the thing. And so she felt like she could just nuzzle in.
Well, the interesting part is I believe that most products go through some sort of testing or quality.
Great value brand.
Think they could do spearmint or like mint smells good.
I love that you don't.
But not this kind of
have
mint.
Have any kind of a political mind, but I also don't like that you don't. So is it true? Most people use the phrase blood is thicker than water wrongly and use it in a way that it means opposite to what the actual phrase means. Phrase most people use, blood is thicker than water. People used to say this about blood relations lie above chosen bonds. The actual saying is the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb, meaning chosen bonds are more strong than blood relations.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
That's the real parable.
100%.
So we have closer relationship to a lot of people in the church body than we do with our actual blood relation. And it's because we have to will with our freedom of choice to spend time with those people and to pour into those relationships instead of just relying on, they have to be at Christmas. They have to love me. They have to forgive me because we're...
To be clear, it's not because we have not tried or watched our parents try for our entire lives.
Well, and that's the perfect example of when Christ said that he came to put enmity between the Father and the Son, et cetera, because of our spiritual choices, there's been people that have chosen to move away from us in relationship. Mm-hmm. With our family.
It happens with everybody.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, it's pretty obvious that that will happen to you.
Yeah.
If you read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what are you talking about today?
We had to take Pluto to the vet. I had to on...
Friday.
I didn't want to. And then I took the kids with me. And then... We went in, got him checked out. He got some shots. We talked about his allergies. And then Jasmine and I went out into the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
And a cat came out and was like hanging on us. And we were petting it. And we ended up getting in a conversation with the people waiting in the waiting area and the vet techs. And then... Max and Jasmine ended up taking Pluto out. And as I was talking to these people, because it was the day after the 4th of July.
So it was the 5th.
We were talking about what we did. And I was sharing with them how we had all these people at Mom and Dad's. And we were having a celebration. And then the rain came. And then you guys went in the house.
And the wind blew. But my house was built on you.
Yep. And then you guys broke into spontaneous worship. And I was sharing with these people how it went from like modern Christian worship back into the old hymns and how people really engaged. And it went for quite a while until the storm stopped. And then everybody was able to go back outside and enjoy the outdoor festivities. But as
the benefits of being at mom and dad's, and they used to own a music store. So
yeah, people they had like every instrument under the sun.
Everybody, Max was playing maracas, obviously.
Well, as I was doing this, like the entire group, like the people sitting there were not getting upset that their appointment was being pushed back 45 minutes while I told stories. The vet techs weren't like trying to hurry anybody along. They all engaged. And you could feel the presence of God in the veterinary clinic. And then we're talking, and then one lady is like, where do you go to church? So then I started sharing with her like where we attend church, and we got in this conversation, and then I said, do you go to church? And she said, well, I guess you could say I'm, you know, Methodist or whatever. And it was just really interesting because we were just talking about, you know, being able to break into conversation. And for me, I was trying to get out of taking the dog to the vet. Mm-hmm. Like I was trying to figure out a way to not do that.
It's so funny that you keep trying to get out of doing stuff and you know that when you get there, you're going to have a perfectly fine time.
Well, yeah, I never know. Well, it's not that.
Hard learner, are we?
It's not that. Like I'm busy.
Do you know the level of humbleness that you have to be at in order the humility that you have to be at in order to worship in a close encounter with people? Not everybody can do that. It is so intimate and so personal when you are worshiping God with people that are literally shoulder to shoulder with you.
It's harder than if you're in a group of 1,000 people.
Exactly. Like when there's like, I don't know, 20 of you in a circle and you're all looking at each other and it's not like the loudness of an actual like production on a Sunday morning.
Because there's no anonymity in it.
Yeah. And you're just sitting there and you just need to worship and sing. If you're not in the right like space or right spirit or anything, I don't think you're going to be able to do it. Because like it's like crazy the intimacy level that that actually is. And it made me think of all of the times in the Old Testament, New Testament, when we're reading on how close they were in proximity to each other, because I think that we lack that nowadays. Like we don't get into a tiny room with all of these people and worship or pray to God together. Like what if we all like we're, I'm used to it. And so like, I'm okay with it, but I watch people to see if they are right. Because that's very close. It's a very close encounter. It's very intimate. And a lot of people, they can't get that deep and that intimate without feeling extremely uncomfortable. And then as I'm sitting there, I was like, man, this should be like, everybody should have to experience this. Because it kind of makes you somewhat accountable, to be honest. Because you can't just sit there and mouth the words. Mm-hmm. Or you can't just sit there and not and have your arms crossed. Or you can't just sit there and be on your phone. Like you have to actually engage and be part of what's currently happening. And it makes me wonder if that's why like those breaking of bread moments in the Bible were so pertinent, because it was constant moments where it actually made you be accountable for you wanting to pursue something of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the movie Elf. What's his name? James.
Yeah.
Conn,
when he's dad? Not singing. Yes.
Like
100%. Like you, like it's so, if you have never been in an experience like that before, where you just like grab a guitar and sit in a circle and sing to Jesus, you're going to know exactly what I mean.
Well, and there's people that do it, but they do it to showcase their talent. But when you do it in a manner that's worshipful, where you're actually trying to press in, it's very different. The experience is different. The presence is different. Like I've been in rooms with people that are like, I'm going to break out in spontaneous song here because I'm talented.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you're talented.
Yeah.
But when you feel the presence of God enter the room, very different.
Very different. Yeah. And then, like,
it reminds me, like, you remember this, is it Santa Claus 2, where Molly Shannon,
yeah,
and Tim Allen's, yeah, characters are on a date,
yeah,
and she breaks into song in the middle of the restaurant,
yeah, yeah,
and she goes, really, that was really hard for me. Right. Because he didn't appreciate it, and then she, like, left. It's like that.
But when it's quiet like that, even the ones with, like, the, not the best voices, like, I don't have the best voice. So for me to have to sit and sing in, like, a 5 to 6 inch space next with two people next to me.
You can feel their breath.
It's like, I don't have that good of a voice right now. Have you ever
seen those videos where they show somebody what they actually look like in a mirror? Mm-hmm. And people start to cry.
Yeah, that's weird.
You can't judge what your voice sounds like.
No.
Oh, I can hear it go like sometimes.
No.
Like I'll be singing on a Sunday morning and Christina will be going like guns blazing, like gusto, and she'll do like a big like,
yeah, and like that's I'll
try to go there with her.
You don't know how you sound.
And it like cracks. Yeah. And I'm like, dang it. So,
can't seem to get that note.
What do you think sounds best to the Lord?
Oh, for sure.
Somebody that's got a
good voice or a good heart posture.
Yeah.
100%.
You know what I mean?
100%.
Where they're thinking about how they sounded on that last note versus how he heard it.
Yeah. Which is, again, why this is like a really good opportunity. Maybe we we need to continue these types of settings because they break down the walls. Mm-hmm. Because it teaches people to be able to worship God if you sound bad.
I was talking to a guy tonight on the phone, and he was telling me how he's really been trying to press in, and his child, he was doing something. His child said, what is that? And he said, oh, it's this, and I'm going to do this. And it had to do with Bible and Scripture. And she was like, well, can I do it too? And he was like, well, yeah. And then he was telling me how they started. And it just hit me. I was like, that's the moment that you get to feel what God's feeling. Mm. The moment he started doing that, God felt the same way about him. And then his daughter asked if she could join. And he got to feel about his daughter the same way that God was feeling about him when he stepped out.
Mm. Yeah.
Like those intimate moments, the when it says in Scripture that God will reward you in the open for what you've done in the secret place. You know, it's, yeah, like that worship in your car when nobody was looking.
Yeah.
When it was just you and him. The act of worship, when you prayed for somebody because their face flashed in your mind and you hadn't talked to them in months.
Mm-hmm. You know, worship is so much more than singing and playing, mm-hmm, instruments too. Like, I've talked about this before. People can worship God by painting a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they feel weird and dumb doing that too.
Yeah.
Or writing poetry.
Yeah.
What do you think Psalm is?
Right.
He wrote it down. And you can worship God by just marveling at his creation.
Yeah.
And being in, not as a replacement to church, but being out in nature. Mm-hmm. And going on a walk.
Yeah.
And doing, you can dance.
Yeah.
You want to talk about awkward? Dance in a group of four people in worship.
I'm going to try it next time.
Please do.
I'm going to try it. I was like, I wanted to like move more.
Yeah.
This last Sunday, and it was like my foot just like wouldn't go, and so I was doing like an off beat like stomp of my foot, and I was like,
this during is, praise?
Yes. This is
you looked at me. That's the only reason I know.
I was like, I just there is a level of breaking free that needs to like happen.
Yeah.
Even at that, in that moment during that night, it switched over to where we talked about authentic self last week. It switched over to where Christina and Joe went into their authentic selves and they continued to worship Jesus, but they had their personality flair to it. And that is where people started to just melt.
Yeah.
And literally made multiple comments to me, why are they not like that in church? And then I start to think,
first of all,
why do we keep church as such a production? Mm-hmm. It should be those breaking the bread, tiny intimate moments.
I think you need both.
Could you imagine?
I think you need both because, like, God's not looking for perfection, but he is looking for excellence.
So,
and I think that most times in a service, like, I'm not all about the production. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed this, but sometimes I start with slow songs and end with fast ones.
Yeah.
Because you do kind of need people to, like, break down their walls first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can be like more joyful and triumphant, and, you know.
Yeah.
It just kind of like depends on the Sunday. But I think it's funny because some people, and especially if they like you as a person and know you as a person, they do like that.
Yeah.
There are people that don't know you.
Yeah.
That walk into church on
they
Sunday morning.
They just think you're being
irreverent. Yeah. So it's a weird balance. But yeah. I do get it.
And I've had people that, you know, they get an offense and they're like, we both have people that were like, we're going to leave the church because of them. Like they, nothing that we know that we did even ask for forgiveness. Like, sorry, I didn't realize that I didn't smile enough. I don't know. And people will look for a reason to leave and you
the
might
enemy,
be.
The enemy will poke holes in your image for that person.
And it's very strange, and we should never tiptoe around that, but you still try to. In Colossians 3:22, it says, servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not only when their eyes are on you as pleasers of men, but in simplicity of purpose with all your heart, because your reverence for the Lord and as a sincere expression of your devotion to him, whatever may be your task, work at it heartily from the soul as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men that you will receive the inheritance, mm-hmm. which is your real reward. The one whom you are actually serving is the Lord Christ, the Messiah. So everything you do is worship.
It is interesting, though, that we always seem to deem reverence, which is deep respect, as to be silent.
Mm-hmm. Or stoic. Or serious.
Do you know what
serious?
I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if in order for me to show respect, I need to basically sit down and shut up. Like, that's how people have deemed reverence to be.
I've had people be like, you don't shut your eyes when you pray. I'm like, yeah, I do sometimes. But there's nowhere in the Bible it says, thou sheltest shutteth your eyes if.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't say that.
First of all, I'm driving this piano. How am I supposed to just shut my eyes and drive this thing off the road?
I have a theory that the sons of Sceva had their eyes shut pretty tight when they got manhandled by a guy with like 11 demons.
Mm-hmm. You know, ever since you said that, I keep my, I just got a praise report. Can I say it?
Sure.
Live on the air.
Leave that in.
Praise break.
On the way here, recording tonight, I had somebody message me and said, I'm in a lot of stomach pain, and like texted me a picture of like their puke bucket next to them. And they're like, please pray because I need to work, right? And so we prayed literally before walking in here. And this was an hour ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he just texted me, within minutes after you prayed, the pain left.
Praise God.
God is good.
There you go.
Yeah. So good.
I think in church, we're always at risk of having a form of godliness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and denying the power.
Yeah. And I think people need to loosen up a little bit.
Well, yes. The power of God will always make you uncomfortable.
Yes.
Power of God makes a lot of things go haywire. Even electronic stuff goes haywire in the presence of God. Like, things just... lights will flicker, you know?
Okay, so I it says in scripture somewhere where when Solomon was building the temple and they were anointing it and praying over it and the glory cloud came, mm-hmm. the ministers had to stop ministering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talk about like lights flickering. Mm-hmm. Like when the presence of God enters a room, even the ministers need to pipe down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. They bowed. So yeah. I can understand where reverence comes with like silence. Like I get it.
Well, think about.
But God is multifaceted.
But he is. Yeah.
You guys were leading worship down in Phoenix Park. And the man of God was preaching the gospel. And the storm rose up. And I was watching people that. The power of God was hitting them and they were falling to the ground on this outdoor concrete, rain blowing. Like how uncomfortable to the flesh is that, right?
Yeah.
That you're in a public place falling out under the power, rain's blowing, sheets of rain, winds whipping the cymbals off the drum set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's so uncomfortable to the flesh. To think like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to walk to our car in the rain. And here, nobody stopped to worship. Nobody thought anything other than this is God showing up. Mm-hmm. And you could tell there was a supernatural element to what was going on. Mm-hmm. There was people there that was such a strong witness to them mm-hmm. that when he said, oh, Holy Spirit, let the wind blow, and boom, like it started whipping. You know,
blowing wigs off.
So, but that does make like, you know, all of us that were involved with like maybe having to pack up and clean up. It's like, oh man, I might be working in the rain tonight.
Yeah.
My flesh is like, oh, this is not good. But then my spirit sees what's going on. It's like, oh, this is really good. I can't believe I'm even here being a part of this, a spectator.
Yeah.
Can I also say, like, and this is kind of going off of what we talked about last week, too. Like, when Joe and I, or, like, me and Joe and Mom let our hair down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's because we've been made to feel safe to do it. Mm. We should all strive to be our brothers and sisters in the church, their safe place to do the thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like if they're going to step out and like try to dance, they should feel safe that they can step out and try to dance before the Lord in front of us. And then they're not going to be judged. They're not going to be laughed at. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to scoff at them or say, oh, you're doing this wrong or you're doing the wrong thing. Like, I think that's one thing I really appreciate about our environment at church is it is very much a learning environment.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're not going to ever shut that down.
You want prophetic words? I want to be there. And that way, there was a young person not too long ago that got hit with the spirit of prophecy. And you could tell in the delivery when they started, the flesh was in full control because they were afraid to step out and give the word. And as they started to give the word, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit kicked in and you could see the posture and the delivery change and you could see everybody in the room took notice. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden God had everybody's attention. They gave the word was strong, and then they kept talking because they didn't know how to end a word from the Lord. They felt like they had to keep... Like, it was interesting because I've been there. Like, just in somebody's house where God gives me something and I start to minister and share and I can see that they're receiving and, wow, this is something that I could not have known. I'm not smart enough. And then they get what God wanted to say, but then I keep talking because I don't know how to end the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Those environments are so important for us to be yielded to the Spirit, along with having men and women of God around us with experience to be able to gently come in and say, man, from this to this, you were so on, and that's exactly where you should have cut it off.
What if they didn't know that, though? Because a lot of the times when the Holy Spirit starts to speak through me, I don't remember one thing I said.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what if they didn't remember any of it, anything that they said?
Well, that's the thing is like, for me, when I have an experience like that, I'll know after the fact if it. I kept rambling, because then I'll be almost embarrassed.
Like out of body experience type of thing where you can tell while you're still in the ramble.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And it's so important for us to be able to be yielded to constructive criticism in those areas by people that have walked in those giftings.
Oh, yeah.
We have too many people that have a gift of the prophetic in a sense of words of wisdom, words of knowledge, but they're untaught or unkept. They're undiscipled. It leaves them in a place where they get flawed in their hearing, right? So,
well, because they're looking at it different. Number one, the Holy Spirit working through you is separate from who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, a lot of people, they don't think twice. They don't bat an eye. If somebody is coaching a sports team and they say, hey,
right,
I saw that you dribbled like this, dribble like that. I saw that you threw the ball like this. Instead, why don't you try throwing it like this? Mm-hmm. And they take it as, this person is genuinely sowing into me to make me better.
Yep.
And that is how we should take it in the body.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Satan knows
100%
that if there's collaboration and teamwork and teaching and receiving,
yeah,
that the church becomes more and more cohesive and powerful, mm-hmm, and exactly falling into the call that they're supposed to fulfill,
yeah,
within God's kingdom.
Yeah.
So he will prevent that at any cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He will sow seeds of discord, of offense, yep, of hurt feelings,
yep,
of embarrassment, of shame. And he will try to do that all the time. And you know what you can do? The best thing you can do is assume benign intent. Nobody was being malicious. Mm-hmm. Their intent was good. And give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I had to learn the hard way. I would get something from the Lord, and I'd want to go tell it to everybody or preach it from a pulpit. And then it wasn't well received, and I'm like, oh, these people aren't hearing from the Lord. And then later I'd realize...
it was just for you.
It was for me. And then God had to speak to me, and it was like, you're my bride. What would happen
Stop being such a blabbermouth.
If I whispered into Heidi's ear, and I said... I want my church.
I'm gonna lean in and try to hear it.
I want you. I want you, my church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want you to listen more, dive into my word more. I want you to walk in these giftings more. But without this discipline over here, you can't have that. So then I go into the pulpit and I say, hey, God wants you to do. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like offended. Like, oh, I thought I was doing that. I would be a bad spouse, right? As the bride of Christ, if my husband spoke something to me in intimacy in my ear, and I went and told it to all the other brides I know.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes it's just for you, and it's not for the church. Sometimes he's trying to.
Well, you're breaking his confidence. And you know what I mean?
He's trying to trust you with something. Sometimes he'll give you something about somebody else, not so that you can go and be the revealer of things, but so you can intercede.
Yeah.
I've gotten things off. I've went to pray for somebody, touched them, and all of a sudden felt pornography. Like, oh no. Like, this is my friend and a man of God. But I've learned that doesn't necessarily mean that they're playing with pornography.
They could just be being dogged by that spirit.
Yeah, sometimes it's something to come. The enemy's got a plan to trap them with temptation in a time of weakness.
Yeah.
And now because I'm sensitive to his voice and his spirit, now I'm responsible as an intercessor. Mm-hmm. Father God, build walls, hedges of protection around this man of God. You've called him according to your purpose. Keep his paths straight.
Yeah.
Put people around him that will consume his time with good things.
Right. I think, again, and I'm not trying, this isn't like a boastful thing, but it's a good example of the right, in my opinion, the right way to do things. Like, we have this environment where we engage in body ministry, and it was brought to my attention more recently that maybe not everybody knows what that is, but like, it's like you enter into worship, the Spirit of the Lord comes in, and then like our leadership, our pastors, our senior pastors especially, who've been in this for over 40 years, they'll stop things and say, somebody has a word from the Lord. And like Pastor Lynette will literally say, like, it could be a scripture, it could be a song, it could be something that the word that the Lord is speaking to you. It could be, but we'll wait, and somebody needs to share that, you know, and allowing time for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to find that everywhere.
No.
You might find it in like your small group or something. Somewhere in your walk, you should have that.
Yeah.
Because how do you learn otherwise?
Right.
You're like in the trenches taking grenades, and you're not even sure if you're doing the thing right, you know?
Right.
And you got to have that. You got to have that where somebody is able to help you walk through it. So like, we've talked about this, like the gift of giving a message in tongues,
mm-hmm.
and then the gift of interpretation.
Yeah.
I've participated in both things. And both times I've been side by side with Pastor Lynette, and she's like, do it, go. Like, in my ear. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's you, do it. Yeah. Just start to do the thing.
Yeah.
Like, having somebody in your corner like that is a big deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, they're like that. Pastor Tim is more of a, he'll talk to you afterwards
mm-hmm.
and say, that was really good that you did that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not ever physically, me personally, I'm not ever physically sitting close to him. I'm always physically closer to her.
Yeah.
But they're very encouraging in that way.
Yeah.
And they'll help you learn your way through it.
Right.
There's a lot of hungry people too that, well, why doesn't our church do this or that? And there's such a heavy weight put on, you know, church planning and getting through a certain amount of songs in time to, give the updates on what the next events are. And
sometimes you got to get through the service because you got another one coming,
offering services,
you know?
And mm-hmm. but if we were to have things happen exactly how they did in the church when Jesus Christ was walking the earth,
mm-hmm.
then you would be going to the tabernacle or the temple listening to somebody chosen to pull out a scroll and read it. And then you'd probably be following Christ on a hike for the rest of your day out onto a hill out of the city where it's safer to herald the good news and preach repentance. And you'd be there all day. You'd mm-hmm. be up on the side of the hill listening to the Sermon on the Mount. And guess what? Your lunch plans would go out the window. Your making sure the dog was put out would go out the window, the Packer game, the Brewer game,
okay,
the Buck
game,
the West Badgers.
This is a great thought. How many people all week long talk about how they're so hungry for the move of God, but they also actively make plans for after church?
Oh, for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have That's some solid. People that leave before the closing blessing.
Yeah.
That's wild to me. If you do that, stop it.
Or you have some people that the minute church ends, they're like hightailing it out of there. Mm-hmm. Who are you connecting with?
Yeah.
No one.
At least our teens stopped to eat the leftover donuts. You know, They're not getting out. They're not going to lunch without eating the leftover donuts from the morning.
And then you have the people.
How much did you expect God to show up if church ends at 12 and you made a lunch reservation at 12:30?
Right. Mm. Right.
How much? What were you expecting?
Yeah. And then you have the people that linger. They'll linger for until next Sunday.
Yeah. And sometimes you're like, all right, go home.
But the interesting part is, me and Joe had this conversation on the way to church last Sunday.
I'm like, so that guy
is God gives us free will, but a lot of the times we don't give other people free will. And like, this messed with my head a little bit, because the people that are hungry, truly hungry, they have eyes to see, they have ears to hear, they're doing it. They're gunning for it. They're going to the altar. They're doing what they need to do. They're finding
they're
finding the services they can go to. They're not making lunch plans after church. And then the people that aren't, we sometimes try to take responsibility for that. And it's like, wait, God gave us free will. They have free will as
well.
When people are truly, truly hungry for God, I don't ever have to guess.
They will show up in a Let's Taco About Jesus t-shirt.
Yeah.
Shout out Robbie. Yeah,
Robbie. You shouted out him the other day too.
I know. I love Robbie.
But yeah, it's interesting.
That's the thing. I mean, people show their whole hand.
Oh, for sure they do. The nonverbals.
This is what I love though. And this sounds judgy. Maybe it is. I don't know. In one breath, you'll have people like, I'm in the worst part of my life. And I really need God's help. And I'm praying for the salvation of this person. And it's tearing me up inside. And they can't make it through to the closing prayer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, well, how bad do you want it?
Correct. What that tells you is that you haven't truly hit rock bottom yet.
That's the pool of Bethesda guy. He's sitting there. Yeah, but nobody would carry me into the water. I've been waiting for years. And Jesus is like...
Yeah, so there's a moment that happens in everybody's life, and I feel like if you had to do a panel and an interview of everybody right now that doesn't ever leave church, they all hit a moment where they no longer like accepted everybody else being the problem. They understood they were the problem, and they understood that I can no longer be a victim, and they understood that I need to give it all to God right now and completely pursue him and give up everything else, or this is not going to work. I guarantee that if we all sat in a line, we would have
literal come to Jesus
at some point. That would be the trend in everybody talking.
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of these people that we can, because even when like you, I've had so many of these conversations where people will talk about like their like wayward child, for example, and they're like, man, they're really at rock bottom. And like, you can't judge that rock bottom. Like you can't make that call, because they'll
talk. What did they say that one time on that TV show? There's rock bottom and then 50 feet of crap. Then there's me.
Basically, because I'll talk to those same people like a month later and the situation's even worse.
Yeah.
You know, it really does depend on that person's free will and how much hell do you want to go through before you finally come to that come to Jesus moment where you're like, okay. Because everybody's going to get there at one point or another. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you're either going to do it on Judgment Day or you're going to do it while you're still living here on this earth.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because like, you look at how people pursued their miracle in the Bible and then how people pursue their miracles in the Western church. Mm. How are they doing it?
Mm. Well, the woman with the issue of blood, she spent a fortune on doctors, you know, like we can do all the essential oils and aromatherapy we want, but the oil that we need is the oil of anointing. You know, how much have we invested in the body of Christ? You know, like I can buy the whole kit of all the oils, right? I can buy it and I can rub it on the bottom of my feet. I can do all this stuff. But for me personally, I've learned that it would be more beneficial for me to take that sum of money and give it to the poor, or give it to in an offering to the church, and rely on God mm-hmm. to give me my breakthrough.
Yeah.
But I had to hit a lot of walls to get there.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, I don't know. I just keep coming back to that. It's like, you want this thing, you want breakthrough, but you can't, on when it starts raining on the 4th of July, you're reluctant and even like, ugh.
Yes.
To worship.
Yeah.
Mm. When given the opportunity.
Yeah.
Really? That's what we're going to do for fun?
Yep.
That's what we're going to do right now in the middle of a holiday? I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Jesus doesn't come on vacation.
Yeah. And you have all these people that are just desperate for breakthrough.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But don't fast and pray.
Jesus has got work to do. He's not coming on vacation with me.
Right. It's like, how bad is it where if we didn't have a midweek service, are people, nobody's calling up to say, can I get into the church today? Mm. You know what I mean? I know it's a Monday, but I got to get on my face before God. We don't have that.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
A lot of churches don't.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, like, you just don't see how, that's what I'm saying is, like, we're kind of coddled here in the Western church. A lot of people say that, like, when they come from outside of the U.S. and then they come and see how church is here, they're like, this church is sleepy.
I've talked to
100%. Like, honestly, even midweek services.
And a lot of this is our own conviction coming out.
Yeah, but, like, and like mid, nothing there, but like midweek services, I literally don't understand it. How everybody on Sunday morning is not on the Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
Because it's a mid, like it blows my mind because I'm not going to be proud here and I'm not going to fall on my face, but like, I feel like I'm still very hungry. If I need them. And I'm not falling off the wagon every 5 seconds. I don't know how everybody, I don't know how you're surviving without them. Mm. Like, honestly. And I actually thought about this. Like, let's pretend, because this is food, right? This is bread. He's the bread of life. If you, I want to charge people. I'm only allowing you to eat physical food the same amount of time that you spend in spiritual food. Can I be transparent? Food.
I got quiet because I don't go to midweek service. And Joe and Heidi are looking at each other, but not looking at me so much.
And I wasn't
And I don't feel called out directly, like by name, but you know, sometimes you got to hear the things.
It's
sometimes you just got to hear it.
In the last 3 weeks, I've talked to several people in their homes. Mm-hmm. That have moved into this area from other places. And when I'm talking to them and I start to share ministry things with them, we haven't found a church around here that fits us. And we've actually found that we enjoy streaming our church from where we were. It's a good word church.
Do you know?
And we don't even have to, like, we can do it. You know, even if we can't do it during the live stream, we can watch it later. And I'm like, oh, so you want God on your terms.
To fit into your schedule. Yeah.
Do you know that there's a big church down south? And there are other really big, like multi-church, multi-state conglomerates. These churches, they stream online. There's a huge church down south that stopped. Mm-hmm. They ended it because they said, we have too many people from out of state watching our church, go find a local one.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah. They literally stopped their live stream.
Yeah.
I had a lady just ask me today. It was kind of sad because we were talking and found out her husband just died last month and I knew them both and they're customers. And we were talking and I was sharing with her about some of the things that we get to experience at church. And she goes, where do you go to church again? And I told her and she said, you know, my church has gotten so big. She's been going there for like 15 years. She goes, now I have to sit in a separate room and watch pastor on a screen so that the new people can be in the actual congregation.
I don't like that.
And she said, I feel like I've disconnected from this church. And like everything in me wanted to be like, oh, honey, don't abandon your role as a servant in the body of Christ there. Like, I don't want that to happen to any church. But at the same time, I'm like, how did we get there?
How did we get there?
And that you have to have so much control over your people that you can't just open, you haven't discipled somebody into a place to be able to preach the same anointed word of God as you have. So instead of taking and planting a church in the community where you have places where people can go and be a part of, they have to go into another room and watch you on a screen because you're the only one who can deliver it that well.
Okay, so a pastor is a shepherd, mm-hmm. right? Like the word in Spanish is the same, pastor, mm-hmm. shepherd, mm-hmm. same thing. And pastor of a church is the same, like it's the same word. Can you imagine if you're like, all right, flock, this half of you, I know you best, you're going to go in the barn, just watch me through the window. Mm. And follow my commands through the window.
Yeah.
But the rest of you, the newer ones, you're going to get one-on-one with me.
Yeah. And a lot of the times, it's usually the newer ones that get put in the barn watching through the window.
Mm. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Because no one knows them.
Well, and they might not give as much.
Yeah. And we're not against big churches.
No.
But in that situation, like, and I understand that there's building codes.
There's logistics. And
blah, blah, blah. Like, I get it. But those separate rooms, I do not understand. If you're
it's like a separate room in the same building.
If your church is anointed enough where you have that big of a building, then you need to let people in that same, like, in that same room. I don't care if they're sitting shoulder to shoulder. I don't care if they're sitting on the floor. Like, it needs to be together.
Here's the thing. I get fire codes and I get building codes and all that too, but in the Bible they were cutting holes in ceilings, you guys.
Yeah.
They weren't they're like, okay, is this hole up to code?
Right.
Like
right. Is the building inspector gonna stop by? Right.
And like some of this stuff you're just gonna have to trust the Lord.
Yeah.
That it's not gonna happen.
We in modern church culture, we need a little bit of a reality check to understand even the 70 that Christ sent out, you know, like the idea that they didn't go to seminary. They didn't have credentials other than his command, right? They were newly saved, converted. They didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. Right? Jesus hadn't ascended yet.
Yeah.
So we're not even to the book of Acts. And they came back and they said, Lord, even the demons tremble at the sound of our voice. And he said, don't revel in that. Mm-hmm. Don't get excited about that. Get excited that your name is written in the book of life.
That's right.
Your salvation is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. Don't get so excited about that. And we need to bring the body of Christ to a place. I have a friend that I met was a Mennonite, right? Now, we don't believe the same. There's spirit-filled Mennonites. There's ones that are really close to what we believe. But they have a thing in their church organization where if their churches, the body, gets above like 50 members or something like that, they split it. So they'd rather have 5,000 churches of 45 than one church of 45,000. Yeah. And because of doing that, they keep people.
Right.
If you miss or you fall out sick and you're somebody in the hospital, knows. Somebody's like,
yeah.
Where's Heidi today?
Yeah.
Has anybody heard from Christina?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on with Maximus?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there's contact there.
Yep.
Like, they're going to find out where you are.
Yep.
And if you were just having a bad day, you know what? I just didn't feel like coming to church today. Something pastor said last week really got under my skin. Guess what? They're going to take you before pastor, and you're going to be able to say what you felt was wrong in front of two or three witnesses, like it says in the Bible. And that gives everybody a chance to correct their behavior or explain, like, that was not malicious and it was not meant towards you. At that point, then every communication is cleared. It gives everybody a chance to clear the air, say what the offense was. People can either apologize, repent, or whatever's needed. And it keeps it keeps people out of offense. The more people the more people that are involved, you know, if I'm in a group of, you know, 50,000 people and I'm offended by what pastor on stage says, and I don't have access in any way, shape, or form to this famous preacher, then how would I ever have an audience with them to say anything? In our little church, sometimes I do even question, like, I just seen pastor sit down with somebody, and I thought, how would they ever do that in one of these big mega churches? They would never have access to tell the pastor they thought he was, like, wrong in something. Or
we see a lot of that in small churches. You know what I mean? Or, like, we want to know, who's everybody on your board? Mm-hmm. We want a detailed summary of the finances. Like, yeah. They're not walking into a church of 10,000 and asking for that stuff.
No.
They're taking advantage of the fact that it's a smaller...
And at the same time, I'm like, good. I'm glad they feel comfortable to ask that. But the ones that truly are hungry for the presence of God,
that's
not even on their radar.
Not even in a thought.
Mm-mm. They're just looking at fruit. Like, oh, my kid came here and told me on the way home they felt the Holy Spirit for the first time in their life.
Yep.
And that's their focus.
Yep.
I think the church needs an enema. Jack Nicholson, as he played the Joker in the first Batman, like, what does he do? He throws his head back and he said, this town needs an enema. You know, it needs a whole clean out of the digestive system to get us back on track so that we can be fruitful and multiply.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at T-H-E Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.